From UCB Comedy Studios, this is the UCB Digital Podcast. I'm Nate Russell. Welcome, everybody, to a very special episode of the UCB Digital Podcast. If you are a longtime listener of this show, you know one thing that we talk about a lot here is the craft of editing. Why do we talk about it so much? Well, I mean, I guess I like to talk about it so much because that's my background. I started as an editor, and for me, working in editing was all about learning how to write in the edit. I used to tell directors that I worked with, the ones who I was like really good friends with, and also when I knew the writers too, so I wasn't necessarily like being an asshole about it, but I would used to say to them, fuck the script, guys. Every shot, every line, every piece of this that comes together in the edit has to earn its way in the cut. We are still creatively shaping this thing and is the last draft of the script that you get to do. So that's personally been my approach to it, and I love talking with different editors about their approach to work, their way that they perform the craft. And today, we have cut together, edited together, Sophie has, a beautiful compilation of some of the best clips talking about the craft of editing for you to enjoy. And we're not just talking to editors. We also talk today to directors, actors, writers, and some of those people who are those multi-hyphenates who do it all about the editing craft, because really, editing is a necessary tool for everybody to know about. Obviously, as a director, you need to know how to shoot for the edit, right? As a writer, you need to know how to write to keep those good lines in there when somebody is redrafting that script. And as a performer, you really have to know how to get your performance to not just play in the one take that you're in that moment, but across the multiple takes and across the way that the piece is going to be cut together as well. So it's something that we all need to have a greater awareness for. So let's dig into it. Our first clip comes from an editing panel. Imagine that. We did an editing panel a few months back. Our friends from the New York Television Festival asked us to put together a panel with some great UCB editing alums, folks that we're good friends with and had an experience cutting comedy, to talk about the approach to cutting comedy for pilots specifically, because it was people applying to the NYTVF. So we got our friends Nick Mugis, Tessa Greenberg, and Ed Mundy to talk about their different and distinctive approaches in the post-production space. Tessa and Nick as editors, and Ed as somebody who edits as well as does a lot of visual effects work. And we asked them the question to start off about whether they follow any particular editing doctrine. And I think I wanted to ask this because I just heard another interview with some of the folks from College Humor who were saying that College Humor has a very specific doctrine where they always show the face of the person who's talking. So in the sort of like sketches that they were, you know, largely known for in that heyday of collegehumor.com, they wanted to communicate the person speaking always on camera. So you wouldn't cut away from them or you wouldn't sort of J-cut. You'd always cut and then see the person speaking. That was their doctrine. And I also added that my personal doctrine was I always like to show reactions to lines and to get a lot of reactions on set, to ask directors to get different types of reactions so that you'd be able to see in comedy that reaction to the line as an indicator to the audience of how you're supposed to feel. What is the weird thing and what is the reaction that you're trying to like incite in that? Because that to me is where the punchline really lands. So we talked to Nick, Tessa, and Ed about where they find their doctrine. We'll let them explain.
A lot of times you have different styles depending on what kind of shows you have. I find that you never really want to do anything super proprietary like that exact thing where it's like every time you're on something, because I think that kind of like stifles whatever you shot, you
sure.
know? But that being said, that's like a really easy way to make people kind of like understand what they're going for and what understand like getting everything into one specific style. But like I do a lot of, it depends. I broke in sketch, and so I did a lot of parody work, and parody work is always sold by how, especially now digital stuff and with visual, you know, effects, how close you can get it to what it's trying to parody. And so that means that like instead of being a comedy editor, like I became like a recreation editor, or like I learned how to edit like the Criss Angel show, you know, or like,
right.
And like those things like kind of like, you know, with parody and also with short film, you kind of, those are the things that you kind of want to go with, I think, in terms of everything I feel like has its own proprietary kind of style.
So your editing style is part of that comedic expression. You're mimicking the style of the thing you're parodying to heighten the comedy.
Exactly. Like you can't, on one level, like you can't change the footage. But on another level, you can do so much to exactly heighten what you're trying to, what the mission of the piece is. You can heighten it through editing. Obviously, if something is trying to be frenetic, you can be more breakneck. You know, if something is more languid, if you think that the jokes need to land, depending on how your performers are, you know, like you might know a stand-up that has more of kind of like an easy cadence, and you want to follow that kind of flow, and then like you'll be editing somebody like Schumer, who's really punchy, or like Rachel Feinstein, who's like super punchy, and then you want to just like go with their vibe, like. As an editor, like I'm only always trying to go with the vibe of what people give me. You know, that's all I can do.
Any doctrine you hold yourself to, Ed? You seem like a real dogmatic guy.
No, I think the same thing is true to what you were saying graphically. If you're doing a parody of something, the closer you can get the visuals to that original thing, the better that's going to support the comedy. That creates your baseline that then you can... do the twist that makes it funny.
Okay. I'll add one, because this is something that I feel strongly about. I like in the edit to have a lot of punchy, especially in sketch, a lot of punchy various reaction shots.
Yeah.
A lot of times on set, I will get just a minute of reaction shots that are meant to just be like, hold, change, like slightly, some sort of like tick, so that you can punch a joke if it's not selling in the edit with that reaction shot as like a hack towards like, this is where the punchline's supposed to be, even if the performance doesn't sell it.
I've reactions are like sort of like a signal to the audience in a lot of ways to be like, this is what's funny. Like you are that person in my mind as I'm editing it, you know? So I love that. I mean, I've saved so many things with reactions off the side. Like it's crazy. Reactions are the best.
There's nothing quite like that with like a visual effects. Like, are you ever punching up jokes with like visual effect choices that get made in the edit that weren't intended in production? Or no? I imagine that'd be harder.
I think that probably happens. I can't think of an example off the top of my head. But, I mean, you can always just end something by blowing up someone's head.
Great. Okay, there's a hack right there. Blow up someone's head. Problem solved. And Tessa, you and I have talked a lot about this technique or this sort of like hack towards comedy, which is the sort of music editing that punches jokes.
Yeah.
And you're really good at that.
Thanks. Yeah, music is my boyfriend, my girlfriend in editing. We're close. Yeah, I think music can make or break a piece. Finding the right piece of music and then editing the music in addition to the footage, editing the music to go with the footage, can really change something. The way it drops out, the way it comes in, if it's percussive versus just melodic and with harmony and stuff. And you have to audition a lot of different music styles before you decide on the one. Like, I think early on in my editing, I was like, I'll try this song because I like it, which was a little bit more arbitrary, not thinking, well, this song doesn't actually work for the piece. For some people, music editing comes more naturally. For others who maybe don't have a musical background, there are still ways to learn how to edit music by looking at the waveform where, you know, the apexes and the rises and the falls. So there's many ways to go about it. But yeah, I mean, it just sets such a tone. It's so fun. I mean, my background is in music videos. So for me, that was just kind of where I came from. But I feel like we've probably all had the experience where we just hear a song we like and we're like, oh, man, I want to write a film that I use that song in or whatever. Like, it changes the emotional feeling behind everything. So for me, that's the really fun part. When I get handed a project and I'm like, yeah, add music to it, I'm like, you got it. So, like, that's just, like, download as many, you know, royalty-free, shitty tracks as possible until you find the one and...
It also seems, though, that a lot of people first starting out in editing don't realize how much music editing they have to do to sell, especially a comedy piece.
Oh, yeah. Sketch-wise, amazingly so.
Yeah.
The way that I was taught sketch a million years ago by the people who started these theaters is, like, that good sketches are like pop songs. And, like, you have to have a hook and you have to have a way in and out. And if a good sketch is like a pop song, then why not have good music helping reinforce that the whole way through? It's like a major thing, especially too when you're a lot of the stuff that you work on, like one of the only ways you can really convey a feel that doesn't exist in the footage that you have is through music. And so you really have to Like, I mean, I love that too. It's my favorite thing to do is like dig through crates and try to find songs. And I remember like 4 o'clock in the morning once I found like a Diana Ross song and I put it on the moon and it was crazy. Like, yeah. You do stuff like that and you're just like, this is the best career. Being a music supervisor is awesome. I love it. I want to do it.
And you can use many different tracks. Like if you're editing a 2 to 3 minute sketch or a 5 minute web series, don't limit yourself to one song. You know, change it up in between. And I mean, it helps to have the same style of music throughout. But I think the more cues that you can, that serve the piece, going back to like if it serves the piece, the better.
Can I just say one other thing? I was like, a lot of my style is like exactly what we were talking about with waveform editing and like looking at the waveform and figuring it out. Like a lot of what I find funny and how to make things funny is through syncopation and repetition. And that requires like a lot of beat looping and things of that nature. And I think that, again, I keep going back to like window dressing to heighten something, but it's like that's the whole thing. Like sometimes you could find the rhythm of a piece through a musical cue that you never knew about.
It's and you're amazing. You're looking for ways to manipulate that song to heighten when the sort of like comedy of the piece heightens,
right,
too.
Exactly,
and
exactly.
That might require looping or cutting up sections or using stuff from the end and the beginning and sort of like doing that kind of music Frankenstein.
Yeah, like I once did a thing where these two characters in a show made a lot of money really fast and I got to use a Drake song and it's like, I'm going to make Drake say yeah, like on a downbeat. Like,
yeah.
It's going to happen because I get to choose Drake's voice for 1 second. I get to.
Did you have
it.
The stems, like all the individual?
No, wow. They wouldn't give me that. Oh, my God.
That
if I
cool.
had that, I would probably be still working on
Remix.
It now and it wouldn't have come out. So, yeah, that stuff is crazy.
Great tips from Nick, Tessa, and Ed. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to be able to work with a Drake song in your pieces? Some of us aren't so fortunate in our work, but guess what, guys? We have aspirations. Someday we'll all be editing Drake on the downbeat. Our next clip, we're changing perspective a little bit to the director's chair and our friend Adam Sachs. Adam's a director who's made some awesome stuff for places like Comedy Central, True TV, IFC. He's the in-house director at The Kicker right now, and a lot of other places, including UCB Comedy. And he's somebody who... similar to Ed Mundy, came from the VFX world and the editing world and has used those skills in his directing work. So he talked to us on our show about the communication between editors and directors. And in this clip, he talks a bit about that and about how to actually show people an edit. It's more than just hitting play, y'all.
I feel like I've edited most of my own stuff recently. I haven't like work with someone else who's just been editing in a while. But I think having a sense of what you want it to be, it's kind of really unfair to an editor to just give them stuff and be like, I don't know, make sense of this. Like if you did a good job directing it, then you'll have like an idea of what you want, you know, so you can do this. And if it doesn't work, we can go from there and try to fix it. But this is also all for scripted stuff. Like, you know, prank stuff or man on the street stuff is a whole other beast.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, I guess usually it's just like have like a sense of what you want going in and then also be open to changes when what you want isn't working. Cause I don't think I've ever done something and had it work exactly how I wanted it to.
Sure.
Like usually I'll be editing and I'll be like, man, this is the one where I figured it out. Like everything I planned was working really well. And like, I'll have like a rough cut and then like, I'll show it to someone and I'll be like, and they'll be like confused about five things or like not sure. I'm like, oh, I screwed it up again. And then you got to like figure out how to fix it a little bit. I think that's probably true with everything. Nothing ever goes according to plan. But, and that's really, that is actually something nice with working with other editors is like just that other point of view of like how to, of seeing the stuff that you can't see.
Why do you think you haven't been working with editors recently? Is it just?
I mean, it's just been like, on like the team that I'm on, Goldwater, it's just me and Zach and just the way it kind of worked out with like what our schedules were like.
Sure.
It just worked out better for me to edit. I think on the Woods one that we did, is this too detailed to talk about a specific video?
No, why not?
So on the Woods Are Lovely, Dark and Deep.
Sure.
Zach and I sent it back and forth. Like, he did a cut. I did a recut. I sent it to him. He did a cut. Then I did a recut of that. And that was actually really helpful because I would be like, we were both working at Premiere, so we just send the file back and forth and we each had the footage. Because like I eventually got it to a cut where I'm like, I like this, but it feels a little long.
Yeah.
And I just sent it to him. I was like, don't tell me what you're going to do. Just tighten it up a little bit. And he sent me something back and it was shorter, but I couldn't tell where. It was like, that was great.
Yeah.
Because like And that's like an awesome thing to get someone else's eye on that. And I also, what I like is showing the film to people who have no idea anything about it and not telling them beforehand what you're worried about, just show it to them. And then just ask questions about like, okay, at this point, what did you think was happening? And don't tell them what you want them to think. Just, okay, you know, when he said, I'm going to go jump out of a plane, what did you think that meant?
Sure.
And then see if that matches up with what you thought it would mean. Also ask multiple people because, you know, you need a sample size bigger than one to know whether it's truly working or not. Mm-hmm. And just seeing like what worked for them, what didn't work for them. And then using that to inform your edits, or if you can get like a live audience to view it, that's really helpful too, because you can feel it when like an area is just like dying or like no one's interested.
Spoken like someone who's screened a lot of rough cuts. And that is definitely a skill that an editor needs, to be able to screen work, to provide enough context to get good feedback, and also to be open to the notes that are coming back to you. Because after all, you know, you could keep editing a project forever, right? It's just that you're going to get to a point where it feels like you have made the best creative choices possible and that the team working on it is happy with the work. But until then, keep taking those notes and keep finding new ways to ask questions that really illuminate where your intention and your execution are not yet lined up. Because once you align those two things, you'll know it, you'll feel it, and the project will be done. Another skill that Adam is very lucky to have, not just screening rough cuts, he's also a very talented illustrator, which means that he can storyboard. That is not a skill that I have personally. If I'm going to storyboard, it's going to be with some sort of software. To draw it, it would just be embarrassing, so I choose not to do it. But storyboarding is, again, in another way, pre-visualization for director of what the edit is going to look like. You're making editing choices even before you are going into production. And it's something that a lot of directors like to work with, and it does effectively communicate to clients and collaborators what your vision for that final edit is before you've shot a single frame. And we actually talked to our friend Trevor Williams, director, writer, and editor from Pig Apple Productions, about this process and how he likes to work with storyboards.
Every time you step into a new project, you're basically being introduced with other new creators and performers that Sure. you've never worked with before. And they always, like, you always learn so much through them about Mm-hmm. different ways to be funny and different Mm-hmm. ways to play things. So it's always fresh. But my dad's a sculptor, and I think there's an artistic aspect to it, and a craftsmanship to it that I really love, as far as, you know, even if you take like an edit, you take this huge chunk of video and you basically just like whittle it down, and you know, you refine it and you polish it and you whittle it some more until it's like down to that really crystallized thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just growing up and watching my dad sculpt. I think like that resonated with me too. It's like that felt familiar to me, and it felt like there was like a craft in that too. And with shooting too, with like building a script, you know, starting with an outline and then kind of fleshing it out with words, and then with a storyboard and with a shoot plan and all that. So I think I just kind of liked constructing things in that sense.
Yeah. Do you how visual of a process do you take? Or do you storyboard everything?
Yeah. I storyboard most everything, unless
you draw?
I draw shitty.
Yeah. See, that's my problem with storyboard. I draw a child.
I don't think it matters. I think stick figures are fine because your DP can figure it out when he sees it. You know, you just point to it and you're like, she's there, he's there. You know, there's the wood chipper over there. If we're making a recreation of Fargo, I guess. and I think what's important though is that, you know, you got your screen direction down, and it's more for you than for anyone else, I think, because it's for you to kind of see the thing and how it's supposed to transpire. I think somebody was asking me, a guy who was getting into directing, and I'm always really flattered when anyone asks my advice for this stuff. But he was like, what do you think is the most important thing? And I was like, well, basically the most important thing is like having a plan, and like closing your eyes, seeing how the thing looks when it's done, seeing how the day is going to go, kind of anticipating things, but being able to step into that room and throw that plan in the garbage when you realize that, like, oh, we can't shoot this side of the building, or, oh, we only have the room for half the time we thought, or one of our actors has laryngitis, or whatever it is. And so, yeah, I think that's where storyboarding comes in, is you have to have that initial plan.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I find, and this is just like maybe like the approach that I've had to take, because I also came out of that edit world, mm-hmm. right? And to me, I always felt like I found some of the story in the edit. So I always wanted to have like extra in anything that I was directing, because I was like, I know that I'm not seeing the whole thing. You know what I mean? And planning for that.
Yeah.
Planning for like, what do I want it to be? What's my vision for this? But also, what are my contingency plans?
Exactly.
It was the hardest part of like sort of getting, you know, having to do it a few times and walking into an edit when you're directing, being like, well, I definitely didn't get it this time.
Yeah.
You know, or I didn't get all the pieces that I wish I had to really save it. That learning process we were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. If I ever like uploaded anything from my first cut that was just like my vision executed, it would be garbage. Like that first cut is basically, you know, I'll first try to get it to like, okay, here's what I thought it was going to be. And then you actually figure out what the reality is and what's working.
Yeah.
And so much of it is just, you know, in surprises. And that's where working with good actors is all about, because that's all they give you is like, it's, you know, you have your world and you can do so much with your imagination, but then they bring this whole other world to it. And, you know, you have to kind of let them have that world. Because they're giving you gifts and they're only making your thing twice as good because they're offering their whole world to you as well.
Yes, working as an editor is very often, unless I guess you're editing animation, working with actors and using the gifts that they are giving you in the edit. But what does editing actually teach you as an actor about that craft? Well, to speak about that, we had on our good friend Lee Chin, who's an editor and performer, formerly of UCB Digital. He also makes content for Mas Mei Hor and previously for The Flama, rest in peace. At The Flama, he started as a staff editor and then made the transition in front of the camera as well, but then still had to edit his own work, which definitely taught Lee about both sides of the process. And we talked to him about what his editing work informed in his approach on camera at The Flama. Mainly, it taught him not to be too precious with his ideas.
Editing is, that's the bread and butter. And it's also something that I really personally enjoy doing. I don't know if a lot of comedians or like improvisers know this, but editing helps your timing and just knowing to be less precious with your ideas and just get in and get out.
Yeah.
And I think that editing makes the stuff that I do on camera so much more sharper, because I'm constantly being reminded and I'm being aware of parts that I'm like, this was great, but I'll probably cut this out. This took too long. Maybe I want to do that again to try to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to have that kind of tool set where I'm like, I'm an editor. I know how to cut things up and not be precious with material so that when I am in front of camera, I'm the same way.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like the thing that editing has informed me when I do on-camera stuff is sort of like getting those things like reactions the way that I want it to be, because I'm obsessed in the edit with like finding the right way to bounce the reaction to the line.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's the communication of the joke. And so when I'm on camera, I'm constantly thinking like, oh, I need to do some sharp reactions that I hold for a second.
Yeah.
Because I want that to be the part when it cuts back that's like easy to plug my face into.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You kind of edit it live on set. Like there's in-camera edits and there's like on-set edit.
Yeah.
Where it's like I'm purposefully doing these things because I know the editor, or whether it's even me, I know that that's there.
Yeah.
I know that that footage is there. I can tell the editor, hey, like, you need to cinch this up. Here's a reaction that goes with it.
But and it must have been an interesting experience, though, to be editing yourself so regularly. That must teach you so much about both aspects, to be sort of cutting your, like, you know, talk about killing your drone. You're killing your own stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it helped me be faster when it came to on camera. It's like, listen, I'm cutting probably 65% of what we shot, because my show was unscripted. So it's like we're cutting a lot of it and we're readjusting it and we're moving it around. So it's like the joke that landed for this topic might not even be used for this topic. It might be used later on because it was a funny reaction to that. So it was just a lot of like, it taught me right at the beginning to not be precious. Because I mean, that's usually the main thing. I'm like, damn, like I at the beginning, I was like, damn, that was a really funny joke. I won't really want that in there.
Yeah.
That adds about 15 seconds to this video. That's drop off time. People are going to click away. Then you get a good response. Every once in a while, you'll get a good response. Like, this video was perfect, or this video was good. Like, you'll see someone in the comments kind of affirm it. And you're like, all right, I guess let me just keep doing this.
Yeah.
You edit yourself down a little bit more. You cut it up. You make it, like, if you were working for someone else, like, essentially what you're doing. Like, Lee editor is not the same as performer Lee. They work together, but they don't really interact. So it's like, all right, I'm making him look better. And I'm also like doing these good edit tricks. I'm like, I'm still creating the tone and the voice.
Mm-hmm. That's so a good way to think about it. I mean, I think that it's interesting. You do have to, with a hyphen, in any hyphenate sort of position, you do have to sort of think about the different aspects of what do I need to achieve in this role right now?
Yeah.
Because if you start thinking about it, you know, start thinking too much, like having too many roles at the same time, you compromise all of them. As opposed to if you say, today, I'm on camera. I need to focus on these things. I know how my edit is informing what I'm doing here, but I need to do this well.
Yeah.
And then the next day you have to be like, well, that guy yesterday, fuck, man, what a bunch of dumb choices, and cut them all out.
Yeah. I mean, well, I would have days where I'd be like, Lee, they'd tell me like, Lee, today's your shoot day. Like, we're shooting Ask Lee at 3:00. So I'd do whatever small edit notes I have to do on another video. And then I'd get ready to shoot. I'd shoot. And then that'd be the end of the day for me. And then the next day I'd come in, fresh mind, and I'm like, that was funny. Let's take a look at it. Oh, that was terrible. Cut it.
Yeah.
Like, cut it. I'm not worried about it.
Sure.
Like, cut it. And then people, when you do leave those moments in that shouldn't have made it, it lets the audience be like, oh, look, they let us in on something. Like, they're bringing us into the world.
Yeah.
I like that accessibility that comedy has with its viewers. So I played with that a little bit more, and I threw more mistakes in as opposed to things that made me look good.
Mm.
I didn't smile as cute in this take, but in this take, like, my hair's a little fucked up, and I said something funnier, so, like, let's use that instead.
Sure.
This one plays to something a little bit different in my personality. Let's use this instead of the tighter delivery of the line.
Right.
You learn to play with it after a certain point, but it's good to not be precious.
Great advice from our old friend Lee Chin. And I think that comes back to the first thing we said here, which was that in the edit, you are crafting that final version of the script. You're determining and making everybody in that process from the beginning to the end look great. And when I say it's the, you know, fuck the script, I don't mean that in a way that says the script doesn't matter. I guess I mean it in a way that is like you're making the writer look as good as possible by making the tightest, best, funniest, and most elevated version of the piece. A lot of great perspectives from a lot of good old friends, and we had a great time driving down memory lane to talk about the editing process, and we hope you enjoyed it as well. That's going to do it for another episode of the UCB Digital Podcast. We'll be back next Tuesday with another conversation with a wonderful comedy filmmaker. You can follow us at itunes.com/UCB Comedy, where you can subscribe, rate, and review. We're on Twitter and Facebook at UCB Digital, and UCB Comedy's got new videos all the time at UCB Comedy on Facebook, Vimeo, and YouTube. We'll see you next week, and until then, we'll see you on the internet.
What up, jabroniacs? This is Dan Black from the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where the world of comedy collides head-to-head with the world of professional wrestling. Past guests on the show have been WWE superstar Dolph Ziggler, WWE superstar John Morrison, WWE superstar Damian Sandow, plus hilarious comedians Lucas Brothers, Dante Germain. The list goes on and on and on. You can listen to the podcast every single Thursday. We are part of the UCB Podcast Network, jabronis.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.